If there's nothing more, you ready for the word this morning? Praise be to God. this is kind of a final message. I'm kind of winding things up this morning from this series, and we'll kind of see where we go from here. But let's start out with our favorite Bible verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Say it with me. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. You know, we were talking about last week, and this is a continuation of last week's message, that faith believes what God has already done. Okay, and one of our verses on this is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, and this is from the Easy English, because it's easy to understand, and it's English rather than Peruvian or some other language. But it says, everything that God has promised becomes yes because of Christ. That is why, by Christ, we can thank God. By Him, or by Christ, we can agree that all God's promises are true. And we can say how very great and good God is. Now, it says the same thing in the New King James, which I would normally read, but I wanted to read this because it really lays things out in a clearer fashion than it does if you just read some of the other translations. But he says, everything that God has promised becomes yes because of Christ. And that's why when you come across a promise in the Word of God, our faith response to that is yes and amen. Because we've been talking about how grace leads us, but we follow by faith. And faith is accepting for yourself the grace that God has already prepared for us. Amen. See, faith receives what God has already done. Faith says yes and amen to every promise of God. So when you come across a promise, we don't, because we are of faith, you don't say, well, I hope that's true. That's not faith. Well, maybe one of these days that'll come to pass in my life. That's not faith. That's hope. That's a dream. That's we wish. It's more like a wish than it is even a hope. But it's just, I wish that would be true for me. But faith responds, yes and amen. You know, when you come across the scripture, it says, by His stripes you were healed. You don't say, oh, wow, I wish that were true. Oh, I hope it is. Maybe one of these. No, faith responds, say it with me, yes and amen. Hallelujah. That's how it responds. When it says you and all your household will be saved, you reply, yes and amen. See, this is the response of faith. It doesn't question. It doesn't doubt. It just declares, yes, it works for me. Yes, that's true in my life. Yes, that is for me. And as Nancy was sharing today in her recovery, sometimes the devil speaks to you, and sometimes you want to begin to believe it but or to pay attention to it. But then the word comes up, and you go, yes and amen. That the word is stronger. Truth will outlive a lie. Amen. See, God leads us by grace, and we follow through faith in His grace. Now, we said last week that there are two prayers that Paul prayed for the Ephesians. And the first of these prayers, I won't go through it, everything, but I want to just narrow down on the prayer, is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19, 18, and, or 17, 18, and 19. he prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that you may know Him. Jesus said in John 17, 3, that this is eternal life, that you would know the one true God and His only Son that He sent, that is Jesus. He says, this is what eternal life is about. It's about knowing who God is. And so he says in this that you would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Verse 18 says that I don't want to say this is sequential, but when you get a revelation of the knowledge, 18 said it opens up the eyes of our understanding that they would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. So you've got to believe in the working of His mighty power in us. It's not our power. It's not what we are trying to do. We are having faith in what God's power is doing on the inside of us. Amen? We say yes and amen to that. So here we have Paul is praying, and I want you to get this, because this is what we're really kind of getting on. Paul didn't pray that you and I would get something new. He didn't pray, oh God, give them a revelation they've never had before. Oh God, give them a vision, God. Give them this, give them that. Now, he's praying that we would understand what God has already given to us in Jesus Christ. That's his prayer. You see, our prayers are so often for things that we don't have yet. God, give them this. God, let them all have this. And da, 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 da. We have our list that we go through. And Paul isn't going through a list as much as he's saying, I pray that the Holy Spirit will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in him, that you would be able to comprehend with all the saints his goodness, his mercy, his kindness, his generosity, what he has done for us. And this is his prayer. Now, you've got to have an understanding of this, because his second prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14, he goes on. Now, you've got to look at Ephesians I call this the mini gospel. I mean, Ephesians, if you want a short version of the four gospels, this is Ephesians. I mean, read through, it talks about who we are in Christ, talks about the blessings in God, talks about we are dead in him and we're raised to life by him. And so he's praying these prayers that you would get what I'm talking about, that you would understand the things that I'm trying to say to you, because a lot of times we get religious, we go, yeah, that's what it says. Well, no, you got to believe it. You got to receive it for yourself. That's why he says, I want you to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him, because without a revelation of it, it just is words. You repeat them, but they don't have any purpose. They don't have any significance in your life. So here we are in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. He says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. See, your family is not only in the earth, it's in heaven. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his grace, or of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and forever. Amen. Now, what I want to come in on this is when we talk about the love of God, most of the time, and I was raised like this, it's how much do you love God? And everything was about our love for God. Well, if you really love God, you'd climb the highest mountain for him. If you really love God, you would be in church every service. If you really love God, you would help the poor. If you really love God, you'll give away everything you have. If you love God, and we go through all this, and what it winds up doing is it condemns us, because individually, we cannot do all those things. Okay, just one-on-one. We can't do all that. But I think that's a misinterpretation of the scripture. It's talking about, he says in verse 19, I'm going to go back to 18 also, but in 19, it says that you would know the love of Christ, not your love for Christ, but that you would know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. See, it's God's love for us. It's not about our love for him. Yes, you need to love God. But the biggest thing you can do to show that you love God is to live for him and be obedient to what he says to do. And if you do that, you're not only a witness, but you're also showing God that you love him, because you're honoring him and putting him first place. But it's hard to do that if you don't know, if you're not secure that God loves you. And see, this goes right along with the first prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. It goes exactly along with it. Now let's go back to 18. Let's go to 17, I'm sorry. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. But it's being rooted and grounded in the love of God for you. Because when you're in a hard time, when you're in a tough situation, The first thing that comes up is, God, where are you? God, do you still love me? Have I displeased you? Have I goofed up again? You know, have you left me? Have you abandoned me? Those are the real questions that we struggle with. You don't have to say yes and amen on that, because I know it's true. Because those same questions come to me. Well, where have I displeased you? What have I done wrong? And usually it's like, oh, I know that one thing you told me 20 years ago, I still don't have that all together. Oh, God, is that what's called? Look, His grace is bigger than your sin. If you're waiting to get perfect before you get something from God, you'll never get anything from God. Because we get it by grace, Ephesians 2:8. We are saved by grace through faith. See, the love of God is realizing that God has extended his love, his grace, his mercy, his strength toward us, and our faith response is yes and amen. But when you doubt the love of God, when you doubt that for yourself individually, you limit God. Because how could God ever love someone like you? Well, I've got news for you. If you remember about when you got saved, you weren't in too good a shape. Some of you might have even just cursed God right before you got born again. The last words as an unsaved person is, God, I don't believe in you. And then finally, okay, I give you my life, God, because I'm at my rope's end. But you just said you didn't believe. You just cursed God. You know, I remember when I was called in the ministry, and the Spirit was dealing with me. I said, okay, I'll go. But I was resisting. I was arguing with them, all these things. And even when I sent off to the seminary, and I called them up, and I said, send me your literature for enrollment, all this. And I thought, that was the dumbest thing I've ever done. And I'm thinking, as soon as the books get here, I'm just going to throw them in the trash. Okay? And then I go into my office, and I'm working at my desk, and I'm just this, it will not go away from me. And all of a sudden, I just push myself back from my desk and say, okay, God, I'll go. I just told him I wasn't going to do it. I just told him this is all stupid, but at the end, I yielded my life to him. Now, if you were in that office before I finally surrendered, you would say, Gordon's got a hard heart, and Gordon will never, ever serve God. Because look at his attitude. Look how he's treating God. He'll never serve him. But see, that was the moment of decision for me. And I was saying one thing, but my heart was saying something else. My heart wanted to yield to God. So I didn't get saved. That wasn't a salvation thing, but it was close to it. I didn't get the calling because I'm just so holy and so perfect. I got it because God had a calling on my life. Just as he has a calling for you to walk in the fullness of Jesus Christ. And your sin, listen, your sin is not big enough to stop the work of Christ in you. Amen. It's not big enough. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Isn't that great? Yes. See, this is the love of God. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. Amen? Yes. You were still caught in your sin. You were dead in your sin. And once we get religious, God will never have anything to do with you if there's any spot of sin in your life. That's what religion teaches. And so we get into works and we get into our own effort and we lose the reality that God first loved us. That's why we're born again, because he first loved us. And our faith finally yielded and said, okay, God, I give you my life. I have no clue what I'm doing. You know, I hear parents sometimes say, well, I want my child to understand when he becomes a Christian everything that's involved in it. How many of you know everything involved in your Christianity or your walk with God? You never will, because we're growing, amen? We're growing in relationship, we're growing in understanding, we're growing in wisdom, and you teach a child, well, I don't want him to come to the Lord until he fully understands it. What you did, you just put a block there that he'll never come to God. And we do that with ourselves. We limit the work of God in us because we don't trust the love of God. So 17 says that Christ may dwell. This is the strength. This is the might of his Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, and then we know in verse 19, to know the love of Christ. It's his love for you, that you would be so grounded, God loves me, that I don't care what you do, I don't care what people say about you. You can sit down and say, but God loves me. If everyone is against me, God is for me. To have that confidence when hard times come, when tribulations come, but God loves me. And His love will cause God to not forsake me. His love will not abandon me. His love will not cast me out. As long as I just, Lord, I trust in You. See, but this is being rooted and grounded in it, where you are not going to be moved every day, every time something happens. Well, does God love me? Has God left me? If you ask that twice a day, it's twice too much. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Amen? He said that. He said a couple of times in the Gospel of John. He tells us these things. Well, I hope it's true. I wish that were right. It is right. I'll go back to 2 Corinthians 1:20. Everything that God has promised becomes yes because of Christ. That is why by Christ we can thank God. By Him we can agree that all God's promises are true. And we can say how very great and good God is. God is for me. If God be for me, who can be against me? Hallelujah. See, these are the things that we need to be rooted and grounded in. And then I like verse 19. He says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, listen, that you may be filled. That the word filled there means to be overflowing. It's not just filled up to the capacity and then stop. It's an overflowing type of thing. To be filled, it means a continual filling. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. Have we sold ourselves short? See, if I'm rooted and grounded in the love of God for me, there is nothing He withholds from us. There is nothing. Nothing He withholds from us because we're rooted in the love of God. On the cross, Jesus covered it all. There wasn't one single thing that He left undone. He covered everything. Well, what about coronavirus? What about it? It's a disease, isn't it? It's a sickness, isn't it? Well, it's under the feet of Jesus. I mean, why should we fear? You know, I almost went ahead and said, well, why should we fear what we don't see? Well, we fear God and we don't see Him. But why should we walk in terror of something that is natural that we can't see? You can put a microscope on it. You can watch us. But greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world. So we need to get rooted and grounded in this, and then nothing can touch us. Nothing can come against us. You know, 1,000 will fall at right hand, 10,000 at left hand, but it shall not come nigh me, Psalm 91. See, God is talking about this is how you live by faith. This is how you begin to build up your faith and walk in these things. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 10 through 13, because I do want to kind of get through this today. Ephesians 4, verse 10 says, He who ascends is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, Jesus ascended, why? So he would fill all things, to fill it to overflowing. Now, we just read in verse 19 of Ephesians 3 that we would be filled with the fullness of God. And here it says that Jesus ascended far into the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How many of you know you need edifying? We all need edifying. You know, we all need to hear the word of God that you're going to make it. We all need an encourager. We all that an exhorter. That's what the Holy Spirit or who the Holy Spirit is. You know, He's that one in the background. You can do this. You can do this. I'm with you. He's the one who comforts us. He's the one who nourishes us. He's the one who brings all these things back up to us. This is the work of the Holy Spirit to edify the body of Christ. Till, listen, verse 13, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There it is again. I can go to Ephesians chapter 1. He talks about the same thing. But God's desire, His will, His purpose in your life is to fill you up with the fullness of Jesus Christ Himself. Now, He did that in the spirit. When you got born again, your spirit man is born again. Your spirit man is perfect. God lives in your spirit, and your spirit is regenerated exactly like Jesus Christ. I can give you scripture for that. But our soul, our emotions, our will, our understanding, our knowledge is continually increasing. See, we're a three-part being. We are spirit, and we are soul, and we have a natural physical body. And the natural physical body gets hungry, but the soul gets hungry for the things of the spirit. Your body is hungry for natural things because it requires natural things to exist. If you don't eat natural things, you will die. Your soul is the same way. If your soul doesn't feed on the Spirit of God, your soul will atrophy and you will become like the world, and your flesh will dominate you. And your flesh that only understands carnal things will seek to satisfy your soul with carnal things, which can't satisfy it because your soul was created to commune with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So when your soul is in right communion, your soul is satisfied. Your soul is healthy. Your soul is good. And when your soul is good, you start telling your body what it should do. And you start dominating the flesh. Why? Because my soul is in right relationship with God. See, this is what he's talking about, that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. He's not talking about your born-again spirit. It already is. He's talking about your soul. That your soul would be filled with all this knowledge, all this spirit of revelation, all this spirit of the knowledge of God, that you would know these things in your soul, that your will, your mind, your emotions would all line up. And when you hear the promise of God, you say, yes and amen. That's talking about me. That's talking about who I am in Jesus Christ, because that's who I am in the eyes of God. This is who he created me to be, and I am everything that God said I would be. Amen? Amen? See, the release of our faith is activated or released when we acknowledge every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That goes back to Ephesians 1, that we would acknowledge every good thing. And see, your faith begins to expand when you say, that's me, that's me. I'm healed, I'm righteous, I am holy. I have the mind of Christ. I am not dumb, I am not ignorant, I am not undisciplined. But I have the discipline of God. I have the patience of God. I have the faith of God. I have all these things. They belong to me. See, that's when faith begins to grow. Confidence begins to grow. Because now you're seeing yourself not through the natural lenses of your lack of, but you're starting to see yourself as God sees you, as you really are, that you are the fullness of God in Jesus Christ. See, he changes us. This is what it is to be born again. To have our spirit man come alive, that we can have communion with God, but that flows over and nourishes our soul and renews our soul, so our soul matures and our soul grows up and our soul begins to know who God is. And now you can walk in your own revelation instead of the revelation of somebody else. Hallelujah. We pray, Lord, increase my faith. But Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema or the revealed word of God. See, I need to see this. When I read a promise of God, I need to start looking at that and meditating on that. That belongs to me. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. I didn't give Stephen these verses, but go with me real quick we're just about done, to Ephesians chapter 1. Now think about that we're receiving these things for us. I'll just go through a little bit because I could preach for a year just out of Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Well, let's start at 2. That's pretty darn good. It says, grace to you and peace from our God, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. He said, grace to you. Grace. Receive it. Say, yes, I have grace. He said, peace. I have peace. I'm not anxious. I'm not going to be running to and fro anymore. I have peace, and peace in my life. In verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, who has blessed, past tense, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Whoa. That covers it all, doesn't it? I don't even need to go on to all the others. But you start saying, yeah, I'm blessed. Well, who do you think you are that you say you're blessed? Because the Bible says I'm blessed. He says, first of all, he says, grace and peace. See, okay, I have grace. I've received peace. I'm not anxious about anything. And I know that God has blessed me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean when I die. That means right now while I'm alive, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That covers everything. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is mine now in this life. It's not being held for me that when you die, it's in this life. See, if you're rooted in the love of God and grounded in His love, you say yes and amen. If you're not, well, I just don't understand how that can be. We shared these verses at a church service I had at another place here not too long ago, and I was sharing this with them. I said, how many of you believe that you have this now? And one person said, well, we don't have it now. This is only for when we die. I said, wait a minute, because I'm thinking, I don't want to offend this person. I don't want to make them upset with me, but I cannot let that go. You know, I just can't. You're talking about my daddy here. I can't let that go. And I said, well, I understand a lot of people think that way, but here in the verse, what does it say? He has, past tense, blessed us. Oh. She said, I never saw that. That's because we preach it that this is yet to come rather than God has, past tense, already blessed us with every blessing in the heavenly places. See, if you look at it as, well, one of these days, well, it's always going to be ahead of you. You'll never receive it because faith says yes and amen. If I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, my response is, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed sitting down. I'm blessed standing up. I'm blessed when I'm sleeping. I'm blessed when I'm awake. I mean, I am blessed. Wherever I go, whatever I do, whatever I lay my hands to, it prospers. That's the blessing of God in my life. Hallelujah. And so we have that tendency. We put it off. We put it off. We delay it. We delay it. We delay it. Faith says yes and amen. Are you getting this? Okay, let me finish up. We said this a couple weeks ago, and I think last week even, but I want to finish with this verse today because it's so true. John 5, 39 and 40. Jesus said, the man who spoke in red letters, remember him? He said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. In other words, the scriptures that you read, he could say this to Nicodemus or to any of the Pharisees. He said, the scriptures that you think have eternal life, you know, you're studying those, you're looking at them, but they're actually talking about me. You know, Isaiah 53, it's talking about Jesus. Ezekiel, wheel within a wheel, talking about Jesus. The prophets, talking about Jesus. The deliverer from Egypt, talking about Jesus. The healer, when Elijah raises someone from the dead, it's talking about Jesus. In all those scriptures, it's talking about Jesus. He said, you think that if you learn enough scriptures, if you memorize enough scripture, if you obey enough scripture, because they're really into the letter of the law, if you do all this stuff, you think you'll have eternal life. But they're talking about me. Jesus is emphasizing that. The scriptures that you read are talking and giving a testimony of who I am. Verse 40 says, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. It says, you think that the scriptures have eternal life. The scriptures are talking about me, and if you come to me, I actually have eternal life. Because no one comes to the Father except by me. So if eternal life is to know God, the only way you can get eternal life is not by the scripture. See, that's why all these other religions are wrong, because they say, well, all religions lead to the Father. No, we're studying those other religions thinking that in their doctrine we have life, and they have no life because they cannot lead you to the Father. He says, they're talking about me. Well, there's good in every religion. Well, I'd have to say, yeah, there's some good. There's also a lot of wrong, cultish, ungodly, demonic things in those other religions. But every now and then you can pick out some good things. You can pick out some good things in Star Wars about the Force. But you can believe about the Force. It's not going to lead you to eternal life. Why? It's fantasy. But he said, but the good things you can pick out in Star Wars about the Force, those are testifying about Jesus Christ. He said, but you won't come to me. And I have life. Stop living out here. Well, I'm going to come up and discover Jesus on my own. You can't. It's got to come by revelation. When you get the revelation of Jesus, he died on the cross. He's the Son of God, become flesh, that we may behold his glory as only the Son of God has. Took on flesh, went to the cross and died for me. The perfect sacrifice. Was raised from the dead for me that I might have life in him. That is his grace being poured out. And the only way I can attach to it is not by believing the doctrine of the resurrection, but by believing in the one who was resurrected from the dead. And if God has raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, that's talking about where Jesus is seated. Jesus told the disciples before he finally made his ascent into heaven, he said, all authority in heaven, and there's another place. What's the other place? Oh, earth. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go out and make disciples, or in my name make disciples. In my name heal the sick. In my name raise the dead. In my name preach to the world. In my name make disciples. In other words, in my authority. By what I have endowed you with through your believing in my goodness, I commission you to go forth in my power and my ability. Isn't that fantastic? And you will be filled with the fullness of God. That stretches your imagination, doesn't it? The fullness of God in us. This is the love of God. That he would put in us broken creatures, broken lives, messed up emotions, messed up thinking, heads turned on backwards sometimes. I mean, sometimes you look at people, how do they even know how to dress? I mean, if you go to Walmart sometimes, you see some of these people, and it's like, are you sure you want to be seen in public like that? And yet God wants them to be filled with his fullness. And he'll do it if they'll let him. The most confused people, God will just bless. Why? We just believe him. He loves us. And when we trust in his love, oh, thank you, Jesus. I might have the virus, but God, your love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your love heals me. Your love redeems me. Your love sets my body free. Your love will see me through. Your love is my guarantee. Your love, oh God. Your love, your love, your love. God, you've already made provision for me. And Lord, I believe it. I accept it. Lord, I am just relying on it and trusting in you and celebrating the goodness of God in my life. Well, Father God, we give you praise this morning. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for us. God, that it is your will to fill us individually as a church with the fullness of God, with all that you are, with no restrictions. And Father, for this, God, we give you praise and we give you the honor, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, and amen. God bless you.